This may come as a surprise to you, but I am a sucker for movies with a happy ending. The romantic comedy or the heartfelt drama, they all tug at my heartstrings. And often while watching a movie, Kate will look over at me and ask if I am crying, to which I will respond, "Nope. I don't know what you're talking about." I think we all like a happy ending. Our sense of justice is satisfied. We are reminded that there is goodness in the world. And it is with that thought that I wonder what you are thinking, about our ending today. The book of Job has a happy ending. We might even call it a Disney ending. Does the ending to Job's story satisfy your sense of justice? Does it answer the multitude of questions that have come before us? Job has lost everything, his family, his home, and his health. His friends have berated him, and he has felt abandoned by God. And finally, God answers, and then we come to the final scene, which Suzanne read for us this morning. So what do you think of the ending? Does the happy ending fit the theme of the whole book? What questions are left unresolved? I will confess that I am not a fan of the happy ending that we receive in Job's story. It seems far too easy to restore everything, to put it in a box, tie a bow around it, and say it's okay. Job's story, like our stories, is messy. Life just doesn't work this way. Life isn't always happily ever after. Anyone who has felt loss knows that life doesn't always have a happy ever after. That the restoration we witness in Job's story doesn't really work. Anyone who has lost a child, a sibling, a parent, a friend, knows that it doesn't work this way. That having another child, or getting a new sibling, or gaining a new friend does not erase the pain of loss. We're happy for Job that his story ends with a happily ever after. But we don't for a moment take that as a promise that the same thing will happen for everyone who has had misfortune befall them. Job's restoration, while it's the end of the book, brings some very serious questions with it all on its own. So if you thought the final week would just be putting a nice bow on things and wrapping it up, I'm sorry. The first question is the same one that Job has asked throughout all of this book, throughout all which he has endured. Why? Why does Job get it all back? Did God feel guilty about what Satan was allowed to do? Is Job being rewarded for his faith? Which leads to the next question, why don't I get rewarded for my faith that way? Do Job's prayers of intercession on behalf of his friends, did they provide him with a special reward? Let's consider some of what is going on at the end of Job's story. And the first is to note that God does not restore Job to his health and his fortune and his family until after he has prayed for his friends. And this is not to say that we will be restored in the same way, but that the humble act of praying for another person can never be trivialized. It's a powerful act of intercession that joins us together with God. Only after Job prays is he restored. And I think that that is interesting. I think that tells us something about God, how God enjoys our prayer, and how God would encourage us to pray for one another. What is implicit in Job's act of prayer for his friends is his forgiveness towards them. The bulk of the book of Job is spent with Job's friends telling him that he must have done something wrong. That Job forgives them for rushing to judgment is important. As Christians, forgiveness is something that we are called to do. And here, Job shows us the way. Perhaps one of the most puzzling parts of our reading this morning comes right at the end, or even of all of Job, perhaps. Job is speaking to God, and he says the following: I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. I found this passage puzzling because on my first read, I was trying to figure out what Job was repenting for. The word repent means to turn your back on something, to make a literal 180-degree change in direction. When we repent, we turn our back on sin and we turn back towards God. So why is Job repenting? We know that he has done nothing wrong. Job begins our story blameless and he ends our story blameless. God affirms that Job is blameless. So why is Job repenting if he has done nothing wrong? Job's repentance ties into the question of Job's restoration. What is the one thing that Job does not get back? His family, granted a new one, is restored. Job has more children. His wealth is restored to him. He prospers. His health, too, is restored. Job lives for a long, long time. Everything that was taken from Job is given back. He is restored and he prospers. However, there is one thing which Job has lost, which cannot be restored, and it is for this which Job repents. His simple faith. Job repents for his simple faith. For a faith which was insufficient to understanding the majesty and the wisdom of God. Job goes and he endures his suffering. He has an audience with God and he is left saying, "I am sorry. I had no idea about the depth of your care or the vastness of your wisdom." Job's faith has been transformed. He cannot go back to the individual that he once was. His journey will not allow it. His new understanding of God will not allow it. So Job does the only thing he can do, and that is to ask forgiveness for the simplicity of his former thoughts. The book of Job deals with suffering. It deals with the question, why? Why do bad things happen to good people? It deals with the dark night of the soul and the absence of God. However, the key through it all is the journey of transformation that we witness in Job. And if you have lost someone you love, if you have suffered in your health, if you have lost your possessions through misfortune, if you have been broken, hurt, and low, and if you have risen up from the ash heap, bloodied, bruised, and scarred, but with your faith intact, then you, too, know something of Job's transformation. You know that simple answers don't cut it. You know that often there is no answer which is sufficient. If you have risen up from the ash heap and your faith still rests with the Almighty, despite everything that the world and everything in it is telling you, then you know something of Job's transformation. When we began our look at Job, I promised you no easy answers. And it may be that I have provided you with no answers, only more questions. And that's okay. Job himself may get a happy ending. But he, like us, is also left with a whole new set of questions. As Christians, we read this story through the lens of the cross. We talk about how Jesus Christ, God with us, came and lived among us. How Christ died for our sake and rose from the grave to conquer death. We talk about all of that, and we don't even blink an eye in doing so. We talk about it as if it happened every day. We give thanks for it in prayer, and we sing about it in song. That's our happy ending. It's found in Jesus Christ. Now, if that sounds like an easy answer to you, then consider the words of Scott Hoyes from the Calvin Center. Scott writes, If the death of God's Son does not strike you as at least wildly improbable and terrifying as anything you read in the book of Job, then it's possible you've grown altogether too accustomed to that symbol of the cross. The cross washes out a great many of our own certainties, of the things we might otherwise think are true about God, about life, about sin, about what is needed to be fixed, what is broken in this world. If sin and evil really did require Christ Jesus to go through all that, then matters are far more complex than we would ever have thought if left to our own devices. Things in this universe were a little worse than we may have guessed. Friends, life's questions do not always get answered. And it is my prayer that, like Job, we might die old and full of days. But we know that that won't happen for all of us. So whether it is when we are old or when we are young, whether in trying circumstances or in peaceful ones, rest in the grace of God. Hold tightly that through the mystery of divine grace, things do get resolved. Amen.